first recollections of Ennamorna, where I was born, are from 1916.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Mr. Hume was in Kenrennie. I understood that he was the recruiting officer for the Isle of Man in the First World War.
Yes.
That Mr. Fale farmed both the Grange and Cleps that I can remember, because I can remember walking with Mother through Ennamorna Meadow to my grandparents at Cleps Beg.
Yes.
And I think at that time that Willie Corlett was farming the Cleps Moor, it would be.
He was farming Cleps Moor, yes.
And at, in Bagode, there were Charlie and Jimmy Corkle, Charlie having returned, I think, from mining in South Africa.
Yes, he came home from South Africa. What he was doing in South Africa, I don't know.
And then I remember at that time that Knifetons were in Babelo Beg.
Yes.
Norman Knifeton farming Babelo Beg, and that the rest of the family lived at Kerridoo.
Yes.
Which was next to Johnson Bollocane's.
Yes.
Now, we moved to Bollocane Reservoir House in 1921, when the corporation bought Ennamorna Farm and pulled it down. But I could never understand how they pulled Ennamorna down, and yet the cattle were still allowed in Kerridoo, which was right alongside the reservoir.
Probably hard to understand.
Harbury's lived in Ennamorna
before they pulled it down.
In 25.
Mm. Yes, but they'd stopped all the farming, yeah. And I think Jim Harbury actually, and the old man Harbury, Jim, his son,
yeah.
Were living in the house for a while.
Yes.
They used to play concertinas at,
yes,
all the various concerts around the village.
Good they were, too.
Very good turn.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Young Jim, the Jim Junior, he's out in America now. We get letters from him now and again.
Oh, well, that would be the grandson of...
Yes. The father, Jim's father, was an engineer at the airport for British European Airways.
Yes, and he now lives at Santon next to Newtown Chapel.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Harbury's grandson?
Jim, the middle Jim, he's still alive, living out in a bungalow alongside Newtown Chapel.
Oh, yes.
And it's his son that's out foreign.
Oh, yes.
And with Jim working for the British European Airways, he travels quite cheaply. Now, after we went to Bollocane, I used to hear them talking about Abdullah Quilliam. He lived in the Towers. Did you know him?
I've heard of him, but I didn't know him.
No. Well, John Caesar Cacken moved into Brownswood, which was alongside the Towers. And in my young days, Jeffreys lived in the Towers. That's Jeffrey, there were three brothers.
Yes, I went to school with them.
Well, they were living in the Towers. Dolly Griffiths, I think, was one of them, wasn't she?
Havel Jeffreys married Dolly Griffiths. Mm. That is correct.
And at that time, Johnson was farming Bollocane, and there was a Mr. Corkle, a manservant, living on the yard for him.
Yes, yes. Jenny.
And I think that Quines had gone from there to Coolroy, was it?
That's correct. We shifted to Coolroy. 1919 or 20. Yeah, we shifted to Coolroy.
Well, who would be, was it in Bruce at that time?
Who? Oh, you're shifting into London Parish.
Oh,
now.
That's the Giant Flare, yeah. So I can remember Quine's in Corroy, but that's as far as that way as I can go.
Yeah. Bruce is a farm adjoining Corroy. I might tell you a story that I heard told about that area. The one family lived in Corroy, and t'other family lived in Bruce, you see. And Harry Scholes, it's a family that we haven't spoken about before. He lived in with his wife in a house just a cliff side of Hilbury Chapel.
Yes, I remember them.
Yes, well, Harry Scholes, I heard him tell this story, and he was working for the family in Corroy,
yes.
And the chappie, another fella that was working in Bruce, had the habit of coming over across the fields quite close to Corroy and telling the tales, or shall we say nuisance, about the workers, you see. And Harry said, I'll stop this game. So he lay in wait for this fellow coming over, crossing an old road, see. And he lay in wait with the gun, and he loaded the gun with porridge. Breech loader gun. That'd be a muscle loader, rather, probably. He loaded the gun with porridge. And when the chappie come on his usual errand for these nooses and so on, he let him have it, you see. And he splattered him with porridge from the head down. And I know he knocked him down or not. The fellow would get up and he was scraping the porridge off him and he was saying, I'm dead enough because he's me brains. and I'm gathering up handfuls of porridge. But he stopped it. I heard Harry school telling that Jan more than once. Yeah. Yes, I believe it could be a true story. Yes.
Well, we mentioned earlier on in your talk about Pentecost. Do you remember how long that lasted? Because I, as a boy, going up to Kate's cottage to open the gate for motor cars, and this Pentecostal place was on the roadside, and with all these notices about repent and all this sort of thing.
Yes.
And what, there was a sister, was it Sister Alice or something that lived, Sister Lily lived up there?
Yes, I believe that was so.
Well, when did that...
When
did that get, do you remember that getting pulled down?
We're on dangerous
ground. No, I mean... No, do you remember the hut getting pulled down? I mean, I was trying to think when it was done away with.
I don't really remember the hut getting pulled down. I remember it there and just as you describe it. But I don't remember when it was pulled down or who took it down. I don't remember.
And if it was built up there for 26, wasn't it?
It was up there... yes, around about between 25 and 30, I would say.
25 and 6. Now, Katie married Johnny.
Yes, well, you know, I can remember it, but I don't remember it disappearing, and that was what I was trying to get an idea when it disappeared.
when Katie got married to Johnny, they left.
They left. Yes, well, was they were they the last people in it?
Yes. Oh yes, oh, I yes. think so. Oh, I don't think there was anyone resided there. Only that family.
I just happened. Yes, I remembered it.
Yeah.
You were saying earlier about the railway going from Hillbury out to the Borden reservoirs. Yeah. Didn't it go once up to the Eclipse and Kerridoo?
No.
Never went to those.
Not
reservoirs.
That I know of.
No.
Well, I don't know. When I had an exhibition of old things in the village, September, old photographs, like in our church hall in September, there were photographs of that railway going from Hillbury down to Baldwin. I think Ridgway Cajun loaned them. Mrs. Cajun loaned them to us.
I know the lay of the land where it came down from the quarry toward the Hillbury Corner. It crossed over the stream and then went down through Glenville. It went down through Glenville Fields, not through the road. And picked up the clay dome, which is in the top part of Ballacreech, and then went down to what should be called a shumping area, probably down at Sir George's Bridge.
Because they came right up from Douglas through the valley as well, didn't they? They had one coming up through Douglas, like out to the...
That was quite good. And then it went out the valley to the reservoir. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Johnson Bullockane at one time would be retired from farming and then came back into
that
it, did he?
That is correct. He retired from farming around about the 1910. And John Quine, who is, by the way, was married to Harry School's daughter, he came into Ballacane and did a lease of 10 years and then went to Coolroy in London. And Jimmy Johnson started up again, the farm.
And who was in Babelo before Mr. Piercy? Were they always in it?
Yes, well, not always.
No,
but,
I
can't remember any. Other.
No.
Yes, I can. I'm sorry. He was a chappy. He was a man named Jim Kelly. It's just occurred to me. Jim Kelly. And he went from Babelo to Sledgeby. And I quoted earlier on
about
that
him.
Jim Cowley went in Sledgeby when Jim Kelly went out.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that is so.
Yes.
Yes.
And I remember an old gentleman who was at the Cleps Reservoir. Was it Taggart? Mr. Taggart, was it?
Tommy Taggart.
Now, I have forgotten to put that in my talk. A gentleman, if ever there was one, you called him a gentleman, and if ever there was a gentleman, it was him. William Crebbin.
Crebbin, that's right. Yes, not
now he was the caretaker.
Yes,
at Clips and Kerridoo Reservoir.
Yes.
I think he took over the job when Clips was. Reservoir was completed around about just the turn of the century. My father never worked on the Cleps Reservoir, although his cousin who farmed Enamona before him, Joe Moore, he did work on the reservoir and the construction of the reservoir. And William Crebbin came in as caretaker. Now, he was a Sunday school teacher at Hillbury when we as children went to that Sunday school. And this is something that I have said many times, and I'm going to say it again. If ever I get to heaven, which I hope I will, William Craven will be the first fella I'm looking for. And if he's not there, it's empty. There's no question about it. If ever there was a perfect man, it was William Craven. Oh, he was a mighty man. And he cut all the grass on both reservoirs with the scythe and gathered it up. And you'd see him out in the morning at 7 o'clock in the hot June days, and he would cut all day, gather it up. It took two men when he went to do what he was doing. He was a wonderful man, wonderful man. And I can't emphasize it too strongly. In every way, he was the perfect man.
I think it would be Taggart that followed him.
Taggart followed him, yes. Tossie Taggart.
Yes, I can remember old Mr. Craven. And just as I remember...
And if you'll excuse me putting in a minute again. Mr. Craven had relatives in Douglas. The name of Morrison. Is that all?
Yes, you're all right.
Now, this Morrison's family, they lived over Queen's Roadway. I forget, was it Johnny Willie Jack Morrison? I used to see him occasionally waiting for the bus and...
Probably Percy Morrison's Muriel's father, probably.
Muriel, yes. Yes. He worked for the steam packets.
He's dead.
Yes, he's dead. Yes.
Now, is there any of his relatives in?
The widow's still alive.
His widow is still.
She's not.
Yes.
And the daughter was married to McAleer, the dog's home son.
Well, we'll touch on a lighter note now. That Morrison, he had a sister.
Frank Morrison.
Frank was the name.
Right,
Frank Morrison.
Yes, Frank.
Well, he had a sister, Blanche Morrison, and she was coming up to Clips. So William Craven was her uncle in some way, or grandpa, something like that, a relative. And she was coming up to Clips Reservoir to spend some holidays in Monday. And she'd be going to Hilbury Sunday School along with the old man Craven and us. And occasionally I'd be going alone, you see, my sister. And when we would walk back to the Cliffs house, the keeper's house, Craven's house, He would be telling this Blanche, well, go on out the reservoir, we'll walk with me, you see. I was only young, about 10, 11. And she would be this girl. She was a nice girl, all right. Mm-hmm. But my, the livings, I used to feel terrible. I was walking out along the reservoir. She'd come out to the dam head of the reservoir, at the top end of the reservoir with me, right under the eyes of Enomona, and say, and when I would get home, my father would be plaguing me about the little girl I had. And it was making me sweat awful. Am I on that bloomin' thing? I should be.
Was this Mr. Craven married? Or was
His first wife died. She was a terribly nice woman, too, and then he married again, and no comment. He shifted then out to Ballyclifferic, where he finished his days. Mm. But by, he was a fine man. Mm. Oh, wasn't he?
Yes, as I can remember him, you know.
Do
I can,
you?
Yes,
well, I
can
missed,
just remember
I missed
him.
I him out of me talk, and I intended to include him in because
Well, are you going to tell us about your brother and his aeroplane?
Oh, well, I don't know whether this... people won't believe it.
Yes, they will. You're telling it.
Well, all right. He had the idea. Prior to that, he made a bicycle. Let me tell you that. Mm-hmm. Out of wood. And primarily the wheels. And he could only, it would turn a very little bit. It's very, almost rigid. And he'd go out on this hill in the field, you see, he'd come down the steep hill through the gate and lean over drastically and in the road, you see. Well, I was very young at the time, but he was 6 years older than me. Oh, yes, have a go. Come on. Well, I had to do what I was told, more or less. And I got on the bike. I could ride the bike, all right. And, this would be about, I'd be 9 or 10, maybe. I was 14 when I left then. This was years before that. I could ride the bike on it. Came down the steep from the gate, full skelter, but I couldn't get around the corner at all. I was in the gosh. All right to me neck. Anyway, that was all in the game, the fun we had. But he took the idea he could make an aeroplane or he could fly. See? And gathered up bits and pieces of an old bike. This was a better framed bike of metal that he gathered up, scrap, built it. And I can so well remember this piece of wood that he worked at, carving out the propeller, cutting with his pocket knife, you know, and his knife, and beautifully done at him. And he put an axle in it as well, and he had that framed up. And incidentally, we were building this up in a little shed that he roughly constructed in the Inamora Quarry, as you know it. And he had the idea, he had these wings formed and all, fitted onto the bike. He had the idea that he could get into the quarry field, as we call it. It's quite a steep bank, and it come down to the road, you see. And he would start off on top of this bank, pedal like the very devil, as you might say, and get airborne. And the reservoir was right in front of him. See, the Clips reservoir was right in front of him. And he was getting on very well with it. It was coming to near completion, as you might say. And I think my father got rather worried about it, and he set fire to the quarry and burnt the lot. He never admitted he'd done it, but I think he did do it. Yeah. But
what a shame.
Whether it would have worked or not, I don't know. We never got to.
We'd have wanted the Dullans too.
You'd want the Dullans on us right now. Right. He was a great character. And I was telling you the story then about him making a mill. When we had diphtheria at Inamona, him and I were shut in isolation from the rest of the family for a while. And the whole winter in the house, you know, diphtheria, 1909. And nothing to do in there. And my sister, Mrs. Cleveland, was gathering stuff and taking them to the outside of the window and putting them on the sill, you see, and we'd open the window and get them. I was 9 and he would be 6 years older. And he built up one of these thrashing mills out of wood and so on and so on. And then an engine. I remember him trying to solder, as you might say, or to stick together tin with lead. Well, he didn't manage it. I can't remember him managing that. The flywheel on it, belt, all the mill was driven. There was a drum in the mill and the shakers going. And then when we were short of power, he couldn't get steam up at all, you see. And I had to turn the... my sister then was fetching the grass to us at the window, and I was turning the handle like the very mischief of the belt was driving the mill. The mill would be about so big, you see. The engine was like, and the belt was going on and then was driving the mill, and he was feeding the straw down in the drum, and it was coming out the other end. Beautiful. It was a miniature almost. It was a masterpiece, really.
Yeah. Mentioning mills, and earlier on we were talking about the Shimmons in Ballacreech and Sulby.
Yes.
Was Bobby Shimmon the first to run steam threshing mills in the parish?
Now, as far as I know, he was. But I remember the first mill that came to Enamona to thrash for your father, Count the Willows had it, right? W.D. Count the Willows.
Oh, yes.
And then Isaac Crellum came. Bobby Shimmon never thrashed for us in Enamona, but he did the gold. Bobby Shimmon, I wouldn't know whether he was the first to have traction or not. I don't know that. But you see, they had the mill and the engine for years before that, but no traction. They had to shift the mill with horsepower. Heard my father talking about doing that, and mother's father done the same thing, you see. They pulled the mill from me to you with horses, and more horses pulling the engine. There was no traction.
Mm-hmm.
I did know the year the traction first came in, but I can't remember it.
I've often heard my mother telling a story. There was a gentleman living somewhere up in the Ballacane area at the top who wanted to build a viaduct across the glen instead of going right down the little mill. Do you know anything about that story at all? He wanted to go across the valley with a bridge or viaduct.
He wanted to
down the bottom.
He wanted to take the bridge from the bottom of Broadway and erect it over Little Mill. Apparently there was a pier going out somewhere at the bottom of Broadway.
There was. Yes.
And he wanted to take that and put it across Little Mill.
Mm.
But I don't know who he was.
No, I don't either.
It was Mr. Ashburner. I remember an old Mr. Ashburner living on Victoria.
Yes, in Sunnyside.
Mm. I remember he had about the first motor car.
Yes.
Correct.
Correct. That is correct.
Mm. Whether that was the same gentleman or not, I don't know.
I do remember that it did, it was in the wind, as you might say, at all.
Well, you see, before old man Knifton came to Kerridoo, Kerridoo was called Bay View.
Yes. By the way, have you ever noticed the initials of the people I quoted earlier on that live there?
BV on the big BV on the... Well, I thought that was the house name.
Was it?
Bayview?
It's in. You look at it.
It's in the gate.
Yes, but there's also the Rabbi Quilliam is on in the other.
Oh.
Yes, it's there.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that up where Kinnick's on
now? No. In the big white wall.
Mm. Oh, I know. Yes.
Where I don't know who's in it now.
That must be some of them Dora Quilliams.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I don't know who Quilliams they were. They were both bachelors that Quilliams I'm speaking about. He kept horses and traps in Douglas and those days. You see. That was big business in one time, of course, horses and traps.
Well, I had a postcard given to me a short time ago of Ingerbreck, and it showed you the falls at Ingerbreck.
Mm.
And they tell me that in the, probably about the time you were born or just before, that Ingerbreck was like the fun centre of Douglas.
It was, and they used to go there, picnics and so on. Great place.
Yes, this was a bridge, as if you could walk out through the glens, you know, and this bridge was over the top of the falls. And somebody was telling me that at that time, Ingerbreck was like the night spot for Douglas.
Is that right up where the house is?
Yes, the house itself, yes, house. Yes. That I don't know, was it Crook, or was it, would it be the old man, like, who ran it, or... Did some of the crook always or who run it at the time?
The Spittles has been in it a long
time. Oh, yes, might have been them that was running it.
But he's there in a long time.
He told me who was there, but I forget.
Yeah, well, you see, my father bought the gold and bought it from Spittles.
Oh.
Yes, he had an office in Apple Street. He owned a lot of alchemy. You know that little bit of land there, opposite the war memorial?
Yes.
That belongs to Spittle.
Well, of course they owned all Birch Hill, didn't they? And I suppose that at that time would be all part of Birch Hill.
It could well be.
It would come
right. I think that few have done more for Alcan than Colonel Spittle. In this sense, he practically gave Birch Hill to you.
Yes, oh yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But I believe he still owns that little bit there. I mean. And anyway, that's right, carry on.
What time are we?
9 o'clock. Well, only just, it's the sort of thing that's now, Percy Towns' house was a farmhouse. What?
Who's that?
Percy Towns' greenfields down
in
here.
They
tell me that that was a farmhouse. Do you remember that?
Oh, Percy Towns, is that the...
You know, just right opposite the bottom of our road
yes,
here.
Yes, I know. Temples lived in it one time, didn't they?
Never remember them. I remember them the other side where they built the post office now. That's where Temples lived, behind the wall there.
Oh, was it?
Yes, but Percy Towns tells, at least Percy Towns' son, Raymond, tells me that their house was originally a farmhouse.
Oh, it's more than likely. Look now, I can only go back to, 1906, something like that. Reared out there in the country, we weren't familiar with the village. That I can add to my memory what I've heard and what I've been told, you see now. But even in my memory, good gracious, Uncan Village was only one little street going through.
Yes.
The they had the water trough there at the commissioner's house, the water trough, and old John Curran Smithy.
Yes.
Dr. Temple. Maggie Moore's, and then there was another couple of three shops there, and on the downside we had those houses. I don't, those were always there, that terrace of houses there, opposite...
yes, opposite, I mean.
Yes.
Sissy Hughes's like, and Dick O'Hare's.
You went on through the village, there was a terrace of houses where Elm Tree House is now, little old houses where I can name two or three of the old Willie Cannon's family lived in one of them, and old Jimmy Howlin, and a few more characters, such as Ned the Wasp, and they were about two. And there was Darlin's, the Manx Arms, all right, it was always there. But there was nothing down Royal Avenue.
No.
Till you got down to the bottom. They were always there. And the Taggart's Hackett and Mill and et cetera, and the fields and green fields, all the park as we know it was agricultural land.
Well, who had the smithy on the butt?
You'll have to wait a minute now. I must tell you this. On the who? On the where?
On the butt. Church Road to in my young days was always the butt.
Yes, well, I know of no smithy on the butt.
Well, I thought where the highway board yard is now used to be a smithy.
Oh, no, it was a joiner's place.
Was it?
Kelly the joiner's.
Oh.
You know Cecil Kelly? And
yes.
His son George, he died, I think, a little while ago, George yes. Kelly. Well, Cecil's father, Whisker on him, that was his joiner's shop.
Oh, somebody told me that there used to be like three smithies in the village. Curran's, this one here, a Cackin, like,
yes,
that
yes.
Jean's father took over, and that yes. there was another one on the butt.
Well, I never knew a horn on the butt. The site that you speak of was Kelly, old John Kelly, the joiner's.
Oh, yes.
There was a big family, those Kellys, in. Walter had it after him. And I went to school with one of his grandsons, Bertram Kelly. He emigrated somewhere. And but there was a smithy in Avondale Road.
Oh.
And in my young days, it was called the Smithy Road, not Avondale. I remember before it was Avondale Road. Now, just give me time. Who was the blacksmith? Can you help me?
No, I don't remember any smithy there.
Oh, there was, though. I've seen a plough that he made, too. I was a bit of a ploughman in my time, and I was interested in these ploughs. It may come back to me, but I remember... No, I nearly had it then, too. Wasn't Lewin.
Well, the Lewins were somewhere in Onken, because old Mrs. Lewin was at the chapel centenary, and she went to Onken Sunday School. Now, that was Lewin the blacksmith that were down in by the railway station eventually.
Oh, yes, sir. I knew those Lewins at the railway station. They had the weighing machine there. But there was a blacksmith in Smithy Road, now called Avondale Road. Now, I can't remember his name, but it just comes to me, you know, around about the turn of the century, the farmers carted their stones that they picked off the fields onto certain places along the high road or any such place, and they were paying a man for breaking them. You've heard of the stone breakers, you see, and they had a big hammer, a sledge for to grow them so big, and then a little small one and a long handle slashing at them, but to break them smaller. And that's the metal they were putting onto the high road. Mm. See, no tarmac that time. They were blinding the stones in with earth and water and so on. So they would not be cutting on those horses when doing it. Well, there was I remember they put the stones in Enamona Road. Now, whether my father put them there or whether they came out of Goldsmith's Field or whether they came out of Ballacane Field, I don't know. But there was a butt of stones just in at Johnson's Gate. You know it very well.
Ballacackle?
No, Enamona Road.
Now, I'm on the Enamona Road where you went down through the Johnson's.
I can't remember that first name either. And Annie, my sister, and they would be coming home from school. Now this sticks in my mind. And he was there breaking stones, you see, and as sure as we came to him, he would say, "What o'clock will it be?" Never, "What time is it?"
Yeah.
"What o'clock is it?" Yeah, now, I knew the fella's name, but I can't remember it. Yeah.
Well, in those days, would that be the main road up to Craignabar? Up through, like, Enamona, Honey Hill?
I was looking at an old map in the assessment board. Are we on?
You're all right, yes.
And an old plan of Enamona. I can't remember the date of it. That was a couple of years ago or three since I saw it. And there was no road as such now called the Clips Course.
Oh.
There was no road. You know, the main road up was up through Enamona. I remember that road reasonably good. Like, it's gone to pot now.
Yes, yes.
Washed out with the water. Yes, I saw that plan. Of course, I knew there was no that road was put in not too far distant. Yes, and to keep us kids at home, my mother was telling us that there was a Mardy Dow taken up in that road, about halfway so. Mardy Dow, the black dog.
Well, I well remember as a young fellow, a neighbour of yours coming knocking on our door. It was thundering and pouring with rain, and father must have been out, and this chap came, and our mother was really, really worried, and she put him in the cowhouse, told him he could go in there for the night, and then she wondered, would he have the place burnt down by morning?
Yes, yes. That could.
Yes.
Yeah, old characters. They were travelling about in those days.
Well, John Kermode in my young days used to live up at above us in Sunnyside, and he was going about, was it hedging and ditching and that sort of thing?
Oh, yes, he built up a lot of hedges. He did work for the corporation, you know. Building hedges up on the corporation land, you see. He lived in Brookfield.
Yes. Yes, Brook, that's right. Yes, Lally's was Sunnyside, that's right, Brookfield.
And incidentally, John Kermode and his family farmed the Clips, Crears Clips, before Crears came in it.
Oh.
And that is back further.
Yes.
I don't remember them there, but they were there before the Crears came in it.
Well, I don't remember Mrs. Ditchfield, but I can remember Mr. Ditchfield and the two girls going up and down in a gig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember Mrs. Ditchfield.
Mm. I think they're both in the den. Dorothy died, didn't she?
Yes.
And
they're both dead.
The other one is dead too. Edith, she married Clucas.
Yes.
He was telling me just recently that Mr. Ditchfield had a very high-spirited horse.
Oh, aye.
And they were coming along from school, and they heard this horse, they used to say, get in. They used to climb, run up on top of the hedge, yeah, because they were, used to be something.
Aye, get out of the way style of thing. Oh, yeah.
But didn't those Ditchfields have some connection with Dan Balaclucas somewhere down the south of the island?
Oh, well, the daughter was Clucas Balacurry.
Yes.
She married Stanley Clucas.
But I was looking in the churchyard the other day, and there was a name on Houstrick.
His mother was
even. Now, what name was it, Jean, on Houstrick that we looked at in the churchyard? They were from out, Cadmans.
Yes,
well,
there.
They would be before Taggart's.
Oh, yes.
Never remember them, and never, I didn't realise until I saw the actual.
Sunday weekend, didn't
you? Yes.
Yeah,
that they were in Houstrick Farm.
Yeah.
I think if you could spend the time, you could have an interesting hour or two in the old churchyard,
yes,
going round,
yes,
if you had the time to look and note the stones that are in there and the connections.
We saw the name of a house on one, and I mentioned, asked you where that is. I didn't ring the bell at all with me and all, can you remember? I can't remember what it was now.
Was it Ashdean House or something like that? Didn't convey anything to me anyway, the name of it.
What was that?
It was like Ashdean House or something like that. It was the name of a house in Onchan, and there was no. What I was wondering, Stevie Quirk and this Mr. Oates that you mentioned is owning Enemona.
Yes.
Seemed funny that they owned the land, like that Ballacrink estate is built on, and they also owned this land all round here. Well, I wonder, was that part of, I thought this would be Beamer Haig, but I wonder what part of, what farm that would be, the other side of the school road.
Well, now, we didn't finish that. It's not clear whether it was part of